if he's familiar with going to Pretoria. The discussion really must inform our Division of Revenue deal discussions. And so we are looking at the biggest red light, and what is it that you are doing as provincial treasurer about those. So immediately we're going to start with
you. Okay, there's something that can be done, because plans were already on in place. But then with the Department of Health, we feel that that is a serious challenge. Even though education will increase the spending, but we don't believe that it will really have that much of an impact. Health is even worse. So my HOD will then take us through figures so that you can have an indication of what I'm talking about, and also the challenges that are there. It's not going to take long, we'll just go through quickly. And then I would want also to him to deal with the municipalities conditional grant on CAPEX. Let me hand over to my HOD, Mr. Sukul.
Thanks, Captain. I don't think right. Thanks, Captain. We have prepared a presentation, which I hope you have in front of you. The format of our presentation, the first 12 slides, you are indicating a summary of the situation. The gist of our submission is in the first 12 slides, as the Honorable NEC has indicated. We then isolate our problem areas, and our problem areas, as we have already indicated, is with education and the Department of Health, especially when we talk about infrastructure, when we talk about infrastructure implementation. The rest of the document then deals with the challenges that we are facing in these two departments, and the interventions that we have put in place. From slide 13 onwards, we are providing detailed information as per grant. What is the correct the situation? So from slide 13 onwards, this is really additional information that serves as background. I will deal with slide 1 up to 13. We refer you to the table, or table number 3 on our slide, and wish to say that we have a total available budget of 1.951 billion. From this, the actual spending is 1.172 billion, which gives you 60% of the budget. We have 4 grants projecting to understand their adjusted budgets, and 7 projects to spend their entire budget. But the problem that we have is the withholding of the 3rd installment on the infrastructure grant by National Treasury due to the 2 departments, as we have mentioned, not spending adequately on their infrastructure grants. We also point out the challenges that we have in the Department of Education and Health. As provincial treasurer, one of our intervention measures was to acquire what we term operational support teams in order to help out these departments. But unfortunately, departmental officials are not well available to act on issues that these operational support teams have discovered, and there is concern that the result that the program management and implementation plans for the 2007-2008 financial year have not yet been concluded, meaning that a state of implementation in these 2 departments, we still have planning going on, and we are almost just a month or two away from the end of the financial year. And these are the facts that we indicate on page 6 of our presentation, that there is lack of work planning, and there is poor alignment of planning and budgeting cycle for infrastructure. We are also concerned that the late submission of infrastructure plans to implementing agents. The big processes are too long and are not staggered. Just it makes it difficult for the evaluation and bid committees, because they are then overloaded with large number of bids that they have to conclude upon. And the biggest problem is that the type of intervention that we have put in place, namely to beef up capacity within departments. Now, departments have in turn, the two departments have in turn placed reliance on these outsiders, much to the disadvantage of the internal capacity, because then it is like we have not even started addressing the issue of capacity. Now, the other issues, as we have indicated, mainly is lack of planning. Plans are only being they're trying to plan now. Now, what we have done as a provincial treasury is that these departments, the infrastructure scenario, month to month, is reported to the Budget and Finance Committee. And we also send quarterly reports to the Portfolio Committee. And there is also a Provincial Infrastructure Committee, which then goes, which is between the HOD and the seven HODs responsible for infrastructure delivery. And it is in these committees that we must get from the different departments their turnaround strategies. They must indicate to us what it is that they are going to do in order to turn the situation around. The last meeting that we had with education and health, for an example, is last week, where we indicated to them the seriousness of the low expenditure. We are expecting that they will give us a report. I think that the return date is the 15th of February, that we must get a report from them as to how what it is that they are going to do. Because as we have mentioned, National Treasury has withheld funds because of these two departments. Now, we are also continuing to engage them that we should have joint solutions with them. And we have also indicated to them that they cannot depend on this short-term intervention on the operational support teams that we have given them, but they must make sure that internally they have dedicated people to deal with infrastructure, apart from improving on the plane. But I must also indicate to the person that the problem that we have is 2007-2008. 2008-2009 is different, because the plans already have been submitted. They are being evaluated by National Treasury. We are in the process of getting feedback and correcting on those. The situation that we see now is actually the result of what happened before the IDIP model was actually put in place. That is what we are still struggling with. But going forward to the next financial year, the situation is likely to be different from what we have here. I think I will end there.
Okay, thank you very much. The next thing that just say from Mpumalanga, the first thing we will do ourselves from this side is also to urge National Treasury to not to approach a blanket approach in respect of this IGP. It's a matter that we shall have to raise with them strongly ourselves. We will write them a letter to that effect. Especially because the Division of Revenue Act is clear. Section 14 that in allocating, you must take into account the capacity to spend, etc., etc. This is the context in which we shall raise with national treasure. That's one thing. Number two, what we want to, let me just say, we are inviting the provincial treasury of Mpumalanga, because we will be going to Mpumalanga in respect of some municipalities. And so again, we shall have a whole range of structures. The national treasury is going to be the DPRG administration. And we might want to further this discussion in respect of the Department of Health and Education in particular, just to have some discussion with them. So on the 18th to the 20th of March, we will be in Mpumalanga in some municipalities there. Of course, the provincial treasurer, we will be participating in respect of the municipality issues in that province. Now, the last matter we want to raise, we want to urge you. We're taking the advice of the MEC, Mpumalanga, that we needed to persuade everybody to do things. We've been persuading and persuading and persuading. We're not really tired of persuading. But what we want to do a bit now is just to place some stick on the table. And that stick is Section 45 of DORA, issue of financial misconduct. Now what he's saying here is that, let me just read this thing. Despite anything to the contrary contained in any law, any serious or persistent non-compliance with a provision of this act constitutes financial misconduct. So I'm raising this in the context of consistent understanding, etc., etc., issues of non-compliance, issues of non-reporting, and so on and so on. So that we are starting to push everybody a bit forward so that we're able to deal with this matter. Now, part of the bigger challenge is the libraries, which is a matter that we must also focus on. Conditional grants that relate to libraries. There's a very direct link between libraries and learning and education. And so if there are problems in respect of the educational department, it means again there's going to be a problem of spending in respect of libraries. And then Public Works is going to receive, in fact, are going to be receiving our attention starting tomorrow. Part of the big problem there is that we are not sure why Public Works would want to outsource capacity. Again, when the division of revenue is clear, same section 14.3.2 where it says, may, where a receiving provincial department lacks capacity, designate an amount not exceeding 4% of the allocation for acquiring such capacity to facilitate delivery. So what we pick up is that there are problems of capacity with Public Works across the country. And part of what they do, therefore, is to want to outsource capacity building. We're saying that that should not be the last resort. The first resort is to access this funding. But then that is premised on D, which says, the percentage referred to in subsection 3A2 must be informed by a capacity plan prepared by the receiving provincial department and approved by the provincial treasurer. In other words, your provincial public works department must provide a plan to you as the provincial treasurer in respect of its own capacity building, and therefore you must approve it in order for you to be able to give them this kind of allocation. Clearly, therefore, the onus is on them firstly to identify the need for this capacity and what the capacity is, so that then we are better able to assist them as a province. I think then the issues that we shall then deal with, especially in respect of Mpumalanga, we shall be focusing jointly on the health department, education and public works, but also national treasury must assist us here in terms of ensuring that they do the right thing themselves Let's then thank the MEC and HOG, and maybe your last word, MEC, without being on the setup.
No, thank you, Jefferson. Let's appreciate what you just said, and I hope and I have belief that we can only conquer this if we are together. I want to thank actually.
No, we will do that, MEC. MEC, we wanted to start with you. We were not able to get you. We know that you are. In fact, all of you are really under pressure to get to preparing for the budget council. But as we were saying, we were looking at the headlights really now. Because this is just the third quarter and anything is just possible now. And it would be appreciated because we were also told that you would want to leave much earlier. We want to, the MEC and Mpumalanga is allowed to leave so that you must connect as early as possible. As we were saying, we will then get in touch with National Treasury just to address this matter urgently. MEC,
thank you, Jefferson, and good morning to everybody. We will also be reporting for the third quarter expenditure patterns. I must say also, Jefferson, upfront that in some areas, as will be evident from our presentation, I don't know if it has been distributed, but we did submit a copy, or copies, I'm sure that they still on the table. But as will be evident from our report, we seem to have difficulties in some areas, especially around health, and to some extent, roads and public works. And some other small under expenditure projections in some areas. But I will allow Dr. Mokoko, Selwa Mokoko, to take us through the presentation, Jefferson. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson, honorable members, everybody present. I will not talk to all the presentations, some of the presentation pages I will skip. Broadly speaking, on page 3, our total expenditure for payments at the end of the third quarter amounted to 53% of the adjusted budget. The province projects to underspend its budget by overall 24.7 million or 3% of the adjusted budget. Total expenditure on infrastructure amounted to 474 million or 52% of the total infrastructure budget, while expenditure on conditional grants amounted to almost 600 million or 51% of the adjusted budget as at end of December. On slide number 5, talks to payments for capital expenditure. The total expenditure as at the 31st of December amounted to 401 million or 53% of the capital expenditure budget, which shows a decline when compared to the same period in the 2006-07 financial year. The social sector capital expenditure amounted to 192 million or 50%. It's also a decline. We should be at least at about 75% of spending at that time. But that even when compared to the 2006-07 financial year, it also represents a decline. Education capital expenditure amounted to 32 million or 73%. In this case, we start seeing an improvement when compared to the previous financial year. Slide number 6, the health capital expenditure amounted to 139 million, or 45% of the adjusted budget, which when compared to the previous financial year is considerably low, because at that time, in that financial year, we stood at 66% of the budget. Social services and population development amounted to 20 million, or 66% of the budget, which is an improvement if compared to the same period of the previous financial year. For all other departments in the non-social sector, department's capital expenditure amounted to 208.7 million, or 57%. You would also realize here, Jefferson, that we are also below the rate at which we spent in the previous financial year. I will skip the presentation number 7, slide number 7, and go to slide number 8, which is a summary of spending on infrastructure for the province. Our adjusted budget amounted to 905 million. Total infrastructure spending at the 31st of December was almost half of that, and also reflects a decline when compared to the same period last year. Because last year at that time we were at 63% of the spending, while we are currently at 52%. And as we have indicated, the province projects to understand its infrastructure budget by an amount of 97.8 million. If we take the spending on infrastructure per department and starting with education, the adjusted budget is 78.2 million, of which 48 million represents infrastructure granted to provinces. As at the 31st of December 2007, 53 million, or 68% of the total infrastructure budget was spent, which represents a slight improvement on the previous financial year. And as you can see, Chairperson, the Department of Education is one of those that have actually spent properly in terms of estimates. And part of the reason here is the better working relationship between the department and the delivering agent, which is the public works, because of the institution of the ITP processes. Slide number 10, the Department of Transport, total adjusted budget 466 million. I must indicate that the adjusted budget includes the rollovers and any other additional money that we received during the year, of which 257 of that money represents infrastructure granted to provinces. Spending at the 31st of December was 57%, lower than the same period lower than the same period in 2006, where at that time the spending was at 71%. Part of the reason provided for overspending was due to the reprioritization from the existing projects to new projects that were not budgeted but then had to be undertaken, such as the square kilometer array access road for the SKA project. In the Department of Health, the adjusted budget was 287, of which 36 million represent infrastructure to provinces. Spending at the 31st of December was 117 million, or 41%, considerably lower than the norm and also considerably lower than the same period in 2006-07 financial year. And in this department, that is where we see the most underspending, to the tune of 98.3 million. Major contributing factor in this instance is the revitalization grant, which is being used to build the Mendel Hospital, which is slow. The progress has been slow in the mental hospital. The Department of Agriculture.
What is the working relationship then between Public Works and this department?
The relationship is improving because we have been able through the ID processes to appoint a technical assistant in the Department of Health who forms part of the bigger team that is for education, public works, and the Department of Health.
But then it does not seem to be improving.
No, the technical assistant was employed during the current financial year. They didn't have one like education and public works before.
But the other factor, Chairperson, is clearly the problem of the contractor. That there are serious capacity constraints with the contractor. We have tried various options to address that particular situation, but it's still a challenge. We're hoping with this process that Mr. Demokoko has referred to, that we will begin to give, you know, concerted, you know, attention and effort to that problem.
Slide number 12, Department of Agriculture. Total adjusted budget 44.3 million, of which almost 9 million represent infrastructure grant to provinces. As at the 31st of December, 19.1 million or 43% of the total infrastructure budget had been spent, which is represent a decline when compared to December 2006. Part of the delays is due to non-compliance of suppliers to tender specifications and slow delivery by service providers in that regard. Slide number 13, social development, social services and population development. Their budget total 27.3 million. The spending at the 31st December was 17 or 65% of the budget. Major reason for slow spending is related to the implementing agent, which is Public Works. And I need to point out that in this case, social department in the past never had a big budget for infrastructure. And it's only now that we are bringing them into the processes of IDIP so that they can also follow the same processes of 2 years planning in order to be able to deliver on time. That is about all the infrastructure. And then coming to the conditional grant, just an overview on the next two pages. Our total budget, I'm on slide number 15. Our total budget is almost 1 billion, slightly about 1 billion in conditional grant. In the adjustment estimate, we received 138, the biggest portion of that representing hospital revitalization grant for the reasons that I explained previously, which was not spent in the previous financial year, and a huge chunk for disaster management in the Department of Agriculture and Land Reform. That brought our total adjusted budget to 1.160 billion rand. Of which 794 has been transferred, 794 million has been transferred from national treasury. And then I will skip page 16 and go to page 17, but also I have explained page 17 already. We can go to slide number 19, which is details per department. We're starting with the Department of Agriculture, which has got the three conditional grants. The third quarter outcome is that of the total adjusted budget of 79 million, only 27 was transferred from National Treasury, and the spending was 18.7 million, or 23% of the adjusted budget. This is a very huge decline compared to December 2006 when we reported during the same period. In terms of, I think I will not go into the details of each one. If we can go then to the slide number 21, that gives the reasons for underspending as indicated by the department in terms of cash, slow spending, slow delivery service by service provider. Some of the tenders had to be re-advertised due to incorrect information by the tenderers. The implementation of some of the projects delayed due to environmental impact studies to be conducted. Healthcare program, most of the delay relates to awaiting approval for removal of protected plant species by the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry. Sometimes the suppliers do not comply in terms of specification health, the return of tender documents. And I think in this case there's still quite a lot of a challenge in the training of service providers, how to complete the documents properly when so that when they are evaluated, they did not be sent back to the suppliers. In terms of the disaster management, this amount we only received it in the adjustment estimate now in November. But our understanding is that the processes are in place in order to identify who are the people who have been affected, and therefore assistance will be provided. I need to indicate, Chairperson, that in the province, the department goes through a lengthy process of identifying and verifying whether the people who claim that they were affected by all these disasters indeed really were affected. So that process takes place, but we are sure, as in the past, that this money will be spent. It has been spent in the past going through those processes. The Department of Education, their total budget on conditional grant, 49 million, which consisted of FET recapitalization program, national school nutrition program, and HIV and AIDS life skills. I want to go to reasons for deviations, as the spending has not been particularly in terms of the plans. That is on slide number 24. In all grants, the department is this one is above average at 75%. Transfers from National Treasury do not match the rate at which the department is spending, hence pressure in the provincial resources. In terms of our overdraft, actual transfers are slower than the payment schedule. But that is a problem between the treasuries, national and provincial, but it is affecting our cash flow processes. The Department of Health has got five conditional grants with a budget of 515 million. Let me go to slide number 28, that gives the reasons for overspending. Their total budget, we indicated that it's almost 516 million. Firstly, for comprehensive HIV and AIDS, the grant is 90% of the adjusted budget at 31st December, which is 15% above the annual average. The grant has not been adjusted to cater for the incorporation of Kalahari and the Vampire Set area. And we have made the National Treasury aware that this has not happened. And we think as Provincial Treasury that part of our conditional grants that were supposed to come to us didn't come, because the approach they took for us is unacceptable. They look at it only where you are overspending, which is wrong for us. We think that we need to exercise fiscal discipline. But exercising fiscal discipline doesn't mean that we need to be punished. Our feeling as provincial treasury is that that approach is wrong. In terms of the forensic pathological services, the spending in this grant is progressing considerably well. However, the mismatch between actual cash received and actual spending put tremendous pressure on our liquidity position in the province. Actual transfer, you would see that amounted to 18.1 million, while actual spending is 26, which means that we are already funding the grant out of our own provincial resources, and hence pressure on our liquidity position or cash flow position. Health professionals training and development. What we have seen here is that the expenditure has been transacted in the wrong programs altogether, and the department, we have agreed with them that they need to correct the situation because it doesn't reflect well. The next one is hospital revitalization plan. The reasons provided for not spending, I think we have alluded to them earlier on, including the MEC. Also gave some explanation in terms of the hospital revitalization plan. But one also needs to indicate that I think because of the lack of technical assistance, the plannings we realized at the later stage that were not in terms of what should have happened, and hence some of the conditional grants and the infrastructure grant to provinces was not spent on time. The same reason for national tertiary services are given, as well as those of health professional training. But this is an internal problem that we will be looking at. If we can move to slide 30, on which deals with Department of Housing, which has got only one grant, Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant. Their budget for the year, 131 million. Chairperson, you would also be aware that our sister province, Eastern Cape, didn't spend their money, and that money is likely to come to the Northern Cape, but I'm not sure when, but I am aware of the processes of making that money come to Northern Cape. Total transfers from National Treasury, 122 million, spent at the end of December, 125 million. The grant was 96% of the adjusted budget at the 31st of the December, 21% about normal, above the annual average, which should be at about 75%. It's interesting, Chairperson, whether the money that will come in this one, I'm told, is almost more than, almost 100 million. And our argument as provincial treasury, we were saying that money can really go into the next budget that starts from the first. But the Department of, National Department of Housing and our Provincial Housing Department, they are confident that they will spend the additional money. And we still have to see how the miracle will be performed. And then we will copy that to our all other sister provinces, especially that province that couldn't spend the money. The next slide, which is slide number 32, is the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, which has got two grants, Mass Sport and Recreation Participation Program and Community Library Grant. Total adjusted budget, 33 million, transfers from National Treasury, 25, total spent, 16 million, and that represents 49% of the adjusted budget. We have spent less in this year compared to December 2006 when we reported. On slide number 34, reasons for underspending as indicated by the department. In terms of the first one, Mass Sport, Innovation and Participation Grant, school recovery plan delayed the implementation of the process, non-compliance with specification as required by the tenderers, appointment of coordinators was halted, verification process by national department with regard to new clubs was slow. In terms of the community library services grant, management information specifications from national department is still outstanding. Transfers to municipalities not effective due to non-compliance of payment criteria. In terms of the conditions applicable to the transfers to other spheres of government, recovery plan in place to accelerate the expenditure in this grant. In terms of the library services grant, also the lack of supply of management personnel has been part of the reasons, the delay in procurement progress. The last slide is slide number 36, which also covers some of the reasons why the spending has been slow. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. The line is as follows then. Galagadi, Northwest and the Northern Cape must have a meeting. Firstly, to discuss all the outstanding issues that relate to cross transfer. This became also clear during the opening of schools. Apparently, Northwest has delayed some things there. So I'm just saying that MEC would be useful for you in the next 2 weeks. Because we want this done before we pass the Division of Revenue Bill. We don't want people to get money that is not due to them. Would be nice there for you to go back and do all the necessary audit so that every cent owed to you by Northwest must be given to you in the next 2 weeks. Without the modalities, the legal frameworks and everything, just to deal with those matters. I think it's a matter that just cannot be compromised. You see, because the problem is that you are compromising service delivery. People that are taken over by the Northern Cape have different standards now. And that just must be resolved in there. So in the next 2 weeks, MEC, the nice step for us to have a report after that. In other words, the two provincial treasuries must lead the discussion in respect of the sector departments that must interact to deal with this matter. Part of what we did raise with them in the last hearing was the issue of personnel spending, which was projected to be over about $1 billion, which was a bit problematic. I'm not sure whether they have resolved that. They have not yet reported to us. So that's the one thing that must be dealt with as soon as possible. But secondly, we want to plead with the provincial treasury and treasuries at large. Why is it that people are given adjusted budgets when they don't really seem to have the capacity to spend? And in some cases, there are no plans, and yet you give them this adjusted budget. So I'm just saying that's a matter that we must be a bit firmer on. Let's not allow people to be given more money. It's even worse when in the Northern Cape, agriculture has been given some money in the IGP and so on and so on. Whereas again, the DORA is very clear. Those that must benefit here are only three. It's roads, it's health, it's education. But I'm just saying, just in the context of adjusted budgets, nobody should be given more than what they can chew. I know they might not want you. It's not about liking you. It's about the law. If the plans are not ready, if everything is not ready, why should we give them money? So I'm just saying,
let's be a bit firmer there. Let's not allow it. The same issue I have raised with Mpumalanga. Now, this is your health, which we will have to monitor very carefully ourselves in collaboration with yourself. Public Works. We will be speaking to Public Works tomorrow, just in terms of looking at weather, for instance. Well, part of what they must do is exactly what I was reading in the Division of Revenue. Whether they have a plan that seeks to build their own capacity. A plan must be presented to you for approval by the Public Works Department so that you are clearly aware of the capacity building plan and that you must approve it yourself. And so we've got to deal with that. They can't just build capacity without you knowing exactly what the capacity is, what the plan is, before you even approve. So clearly it's a matter that we shall raise to their attention ourselves, but also working with yourselves just to ensure that it does happen. Again, I must again raise that matter, which I think we are starting to raise now, of financial misconduct for our respective. But it should also not start with our provincial treasury. Because if you start giving people money they don't deserve, you yourselves are also not complying with the Division of Revenue Act. And so it means, why would people be agents, for instance, if people are not complying with the Division of Revenue Act? So this financial misconduct issue must be raised a bit higher now, whilst we're trying to persuade people to be doing things. This persistent non-compliance with law is a matter that we must guard a bit jealously ourselves. I'm saying, therefore, MEC, these are the issues we shall be watching carefully going into. Well, part of the bigger problem is whether, therefore, we want to give these people more money in the next Division of Revenue, which is coming in March, having looked at the picture that we are talking about now. We are aware of the 100 million that you must receive, your housing must receive from the SNK, but also urging national departments to facilitate very much, because we don't want those departments to, especially that house, to compromise its own allocation. In fact, part of the discussion we are putting on the table now is that withholding must not be done midstream. It must be done as early as now, because already we know who the underperformers are. So when we pass the Division of Revenue Bill in March, already we must have effected those changes. If, for instance, your housing departments must get more of the 100 million or even 200 million from the housing department, should be done now, when we pass the Division of Revenue now. It should not be done in June, July next year. And we are trying to persuade National Treasury to say we want to change this MGF as is. Precisely because, I mean, let me just give you an example. We passed DORA in the current financial year, knowing that the Eastern Cape does not have the capacity, housing department does not have the capacity to spend R1 billion. Now here we are, half a billion has been taken away. Should we again this year pass now this 1.2 billion for the Eastern Cape? This is such nonsense from our side if we do it. And this is why we're saying, why don't we reduce this 1.2 billion to an amount that they can absorb? They allocate to those that are better able to perform Northern Cape, Western Cape, housing. Free State has some problems. We might want to reduce that again in consultation with everybody. So that the MTF figures as they stand there must be reduced such that these people are assisted to build capacity, while we give more
to see provinces that are better performing for now until that capacity is ready. I mean, these are some of the matters that are raising. I was saying, withholding midstream trade problems of planning. Northern Cape did not know that they were going to get the 100 million grant. I was in the department. All of a sudden, there's this challenge of 100 million grant that must be sent. It does affect planning. And so I'm just saying, these are some of the issues we would want to raise, and maybe it's part of the things you might want to start raising the MEC during your budget council tomorrow. So, PT, I'm not going. I wanted to raise some of these same issues at budget council myself. But we are proceeding with these hearings from tomorrow, and not from today or not. But I'm saying these are some of the matters we want to raise, because it cannot be business as usual for underperformers. Let's not compensate underperformance by creating a wrong practice and a wrong culture. And everybody, because they know we'll get it anyway, nobody's going to do anything about it anyway. And so let's proceed. And this is why we're starting to say, no, it can't be. Right. Thanks, MEC. Your last word?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. We're ready to value your advice, and we will certainly follow up on those and ensure that we comply with the provisions of DORA to make sure that we can give people what they can chew. We'll certainly do that. It's something that the Premier has also raised in the past, and we will have to go back and make sure that we implement that. I just needed to clarify, Chairperson, for the record, the issue around, and I agree with you that the withholding and the reallocation should really happen well in advance. Because it really puts all sorts of pressures and difficulties to departments. And also, large additional sums of money being allocated. For example, in the disaster area, we only received the money now in January, and it really puts pressure on us, and it really gives a wrong impression in some instances. I think going forward broadly is something that needs to be discussed with National Treasury all the concerned parties. And also the issue around Kalahari. I think Northwest and the Northern Cape, we've had extensive discussions at the technical level, at the political level, at both EXCOs. And I think we have broadly outlined many of the issues. The problem of the money is not really from the Northwest side, but really the problem coming from National Treasury. That is exactly the problem that we're facing. And it's something that we've got to address. For example, Mr. Mokoko was referring to, why are you being penalized for being compliant that your expenditure is right? We're trying to keep within the allocated budget, but we know the needs are much higher and the costs are much higher. But because we are telling departments that spend within your allocated resources, they spend within the allocated resources, but what it does is that those other people that should be getting the resources are not getting it because you've allocated insufficient money from National Treasury. And it's something that we have raised with them for over a year, and it's really a concern to us. And really, I must explain in the steps of Northwest that we find out the issues between Northern Cape and Northwest and clarify the issues. I think it's really the issue from National Treasury side. Thank you.
Okay. We will then have to follow up with National Treasury ourselves. I've got to write a letter immediately myself just to ensure that Treasury responds to this one as speedily as possible. In fact, we might also want to have a same meeting with both the Northwest and the Northern Cape and National Treasury under one group. Then let's thank you, MEC, for that again, and I hope that we will be dealing with these matters such that we resolve them finally. I am personally optimistic that we will resolve them. The Free Province, the Free Province, is done. I'm looking at the red light only today and what we're doing with the red light. Are you flying from here to Joburg? Sure. So sorry, man, for this. It's just one of them.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, we included some general information just for the overall position. That was the indication. That was the indication that our rollover was very little. So we didn't have to just have a percentage so that we did not set ourselves up to create a wedge in expenditure. But if we go to slide 7, dealing with the infrastructure expenditure, members and taken, we see that our actual expenditure as it stands at the moment, the average is 75.6, with social development at a low of 36.9, as well as agriculture at 57.6. With projected over expenditure of some 1.4% for those departments that they are listed today, or 24.4 million. But maybe if we move on from slide 8, it would be easier to follow. Expenditure on conditional grounds amounted to 1.5 billion, which is 67% of the adjusted conditional grant budget, 91% of the transfers received, and 15.3% of total provincial expenditure of 9.8 billion. The department projects possible under expenditure of 9.3 million, with education projecting to overspend on the National School and Teaching Program, some 19 million, and agriculture projecting under expenditure of 35 million on disaster management grants. That was already also alluded to by the Northern Cape. This was an adjustment. Budget amount is arrived late, but all the planning in terms of the assessment and verification were done. But the indications are that the department will only be able to give you that money in the first quarter of the new financial year. The projected expenditure on the conditional grant, maybe it is easier to go to conditional grant by tax. I would suggest that you go to slide 11 so that you can see that for you. If we move to the Department of Agriculture, they spend 7.2% on the adjusted conditional grant of some 69.9%. And the projected budget outcome, the grant in terms of trust, the budget is 38.1%, the spending is 60.9%, and they project to spend everything. Although they are below the benchmark that we anticipate for the third quarter. Land care grant 3.4, 65.4 expenditure, and projected spend the remaining 1.5 million. Disaster management, I've already alluded to, that the 25% the original allocation, the expenditure includes the approved rollover, and we expect that that money will only be finished in the new quarter of the 8-9 financial year. Local government and housing care that you already alluded to, 3 to 5 million, 49.8% of the total housing fund allocation during the first 3 months, and the projections indicate the possible underspending of 3.2 or 0.5 by the end of the financial year. We indicate that historically the trend was high expenditure from January to March in this department. but we are also actually closely, because even looking at the percentage, it does not seem possible that they should move all the funds. But that is one of the special attention, For little grant application, we spend 11.5 million or 90.6 of the adjusted allocation. The project overspends food allocation by some 18.9%. If you look at the specific grant qualification and training, recapitalization grant, 36.6, they already spent 98.4. XIVA grant 9.2, they already spent 8.1%, and they project understanding of 600,000 due to a workshop that did not take place during the strike, and apparently it is problematic to get all those people together that we need to attend this workshop from in this financial year. But the percentage of the person would be low. Social education, National Food Nutrition Program, they've already spent 100% and they project to overspend them 19.5% as indicated. The infrastructure grant of another 19.7, they say that it is 3.6 and it projects them to spend everything. With regard to health, they spent only 8.6 or 7 or 4.6 million of the adjusted budget. With regard to the program, HIV/AIDS of the 153, that spent another 1.6% and projects to spend the remainder. For Asian pathology, 41.7, and spending percent at 55.4, which is 84.8%, and they project to spend the remainder. Now, professional training, 97.1, 93.8, and they spend 96.6. With the remainder of the 3.4% to be spent in this last quarter. Internal health, plus 70, hospital digitalization, 90.4, we spend 64.271% and project to spend the remainder. National surgery grant, we spend 81.7 and project to spend the remainder. Infrastructure grant to provinces, the allocation is 15.5%. 55% has been spent, a bit lower percentage, but the project has spent the remainder over this last quarter. Fourth are from Tauster, they spent 56.8 of the first adjusted budget of 31.8, and the detail is met, sports recreation. 15.3, they spent 55.5, and the project has spent the remainder. Community library services, 16.5, the percentage is lower than 48.7, but the programs are ongoing and the department projects so to finish this amount will be this amount for the end. Public works, roads and transport, infrastructure grant provinces amounted to 360, and they have already spent 216.8 to 60.2. For the first three quarters, and they project to spend the remaining balance at the end of this financial year. Infrastructure grant to provinces, the department that benefited public works, education, and health. With regard to public works, 360, they received 70% of the total grant. All that they spend at 20% is 2.2% of the project to spend the remainder. Education received a proportion of 23.5. Out of their total, they spend 83.6 on the project to spend the remainder. Health, 30 million, is counted for 5.9 of the total grant. And they have spent 55% and they project to spend the remainder. So Chairperson, if we look in total, I think the areas of concern is the housing grant, and then obviously the disaster fund, which is unlikely to be spent, of agriculture, and then health on the last one, the infrastructure grant is 2065, but given the amount and given the plan for food, we are so sure that that one will be spent. Chairperson, we also included information on capital spending and conditional grants with regard to the municipality. I don't know if you want us to also look at that or to leave that.
Sandra, about that one, we'll deal with that one later. Now, I'm worried about, you know, you've given me a good story. Even though you are saying you're concerned only about housing, health, I think I'm worried about just the whole picture. And I want to send you some volume. I think what we must do, Mr. Palo here, let's monitor all of this, especially in respect of the project at Kuti Bani. So that let's talk more about this at the end of the financial year. Because you remember sometime in the last financial year, people had made all sorts of funny projections, and then the picture turned around. So I think let's have a broader discussion after we've seen what has happened. So that therefore we hold everybody to this report. Let's also not throw this report away. Let's just keep this report, because I think it's going to be useful for us then to start engaging exactly how do they reach their projection. And so basically I think for the first stage really that's what we need to do. Just let's observe this thing properly. It does worry me, the presentation as is, so that each department then must then be able to say to you after all is said and done and the picture is not exactly what they are seeing. And then must be able to tell yourself why did they project the way they project. And I think let's take the discussion from there. We will be watching housing. And as I was saying, we might want to do something about housing. We have a report which we had asked the Auditor General to do on housing. It's not that good about what they did in the last period. We still are going to engage with them in respect of that. I'm sure you also know the outcome of the Auditor General's in the comments in respect of your housing department. But then again, part of what we need to be looking at here is if the projections are correct, what the outcomes are in respect of the first stage, the quality of those outcomes, the value for money issues, and the sustainability. Because I'm also worried. I mean, people might just be spending and spending and spending, but at the end of the day, there's nothing that we're able to see. So clearly, those are some of the things I think maybe you and I, in terms of your own department, might want to have another meeting just immediately after the end of the financial year to look at this report, but also just to call everybody and one group and just say, are the outcomes equal to the money that people would be reporting about? Do you have any last words, sir?
Thanks, Chair. The comments are well noted. Just to indicate that specifically with regard to health, we've already identified projects for physical site visits, also in conjunction with public works, and the site visits are in fact taking place as from today, especially where they are projecting over expenses on things that on physical appearance doesn't look as if it is going to materialize. We will also bring in that information to broaden our own assessment of those areas where we think that there could still be problems.
All right. We try and move with speed so that everybody gets a flight to Victoria, especially the presidents that are going to the other country. Let's take the platinum problem. Mr. Palo, you may be excused. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. It Northwest presentation, we have two sets of documents attached together. The first set has got 5 pages, which is a great document explaining the expenditure in which areas and what are the challenges facing. And second set is the PowerPoint presentation, which has got 12 slides. Let me go straight to the PowerPoint presentation, slide number 3. At the province, we have 2.4 billion rand we have budgeted for conditional grant. And that slide number 3 is giving this figure. DORA as at the beginning was 2 billion and we had a rollover of 72.3 million. And an additional DORA we received during the adjustment budget, 410 million, and in total is 2.4 billion. With respect to the details, the conditional grant spending, our total budget, as I just mentioned, 2.48 billion. The money physically transferred from nationally 1.5, and the spending in total, overall spending in the province, 69% of the total budget. But if you take into the transfer, it is 108%, which is approximately 250 million rand more than what we physically received so far. Slide 5. With respect to infrastructure fund transfers, the total budget is 525.68 million. Out of that, the expenditure equal to 80% of the approved budget. And if you compare with the national transfer, it's 105%, which is approximately 20 million more than the actual transfer we received. Getting into the details for department, slide 6, Department of Health. If you go individually, hospital revitalization grant, there's 74% spending. We are seeing that the recent development, there will be a bit for rollover, which the department is projecting in the IYM report. Health professional training and development on target, 74%. HIV and AIDS grant, 70%, and National Treasury Services grant, we do see a 63%. It looks like it's going to have a carry forward figure. Forensic pathology service, there's a 43%. We do see the pathology, the purchase of there are two payments which are forecast for this year. The purchase of vehicles and office equipment to the value of 2.7 million has already been done, but the payment will be done only in the fourth quarter. And the tender process for the construction of two new mortuaries also commenced in this quarter. So that is also going to be very effective. The expenditure is coming in the fourth quarter. So we see that there will be a bit more expenses coming in the forensic pathology, but there will be definitely a rollover of funding in that category as well. As I was talking about hospital revitalization grant expenditure, the two municipalities like Moses Kotani and Freiburg, there are some difficulties. The contractor's performance is still in a very slow process. And that is one of the main reasons for the underspending with respect to the hospital revitalization grant in health. And overall, 71% is spent so far. With respect to sports, arts and culture, slide 7, there is a department spending average of 47%, which is very low compared to the other departments. The provincial treasury biologically is sports, arts and culture. They have indicated that community library service grant, that is the main understanding, which is 22%. At present, they are experiencing the technical expertise and administrative appointments which are all lacking in that department, and that is one of the main causes. And the Department of Education, they spend overall 76% of the total grant, and the National School Nutrition Program 81%, achieving the 60%, the FCC colleges, they spend the full grant 100%. The lowest one is IDP, which is 55%. The department expenditure of 76% is on track at the state, with overall low expenditure 60% and 55% on HIV aid and IGP condition grant, taking into account the fund transfer from national, then the expenditure equals to 81% and 99% on the grant for the series. The area of concern is that the department estimated an overall expenditure on school nutrition program conditional grant that negatively impacts on the school feeding scheme, and assistance is required from the National Department of Education. And an amount of 250 million rand was approved by National to recover the shortfall in funding in the Department of Education. And that fund, we haven't received the money yet, but it has been authorized by National Treasury to fund into the province. Slide number 9, local government and housing. They spend 62, they have only one grant. It is integrated housing and human settlement development. They spend 63%, and they already spend much more than that. It is 96% of the we have transferred to them much more than what they requested so far, which is only, it amounts to 96%. And this next slide, Department of Transport, Roads and Safety. This department is on target. They have only one grant, infrastructure grant to the provinces. They spend 84% during so far at the end of December. This department also spending much more than the money which is received from national. At present, they already spend 108%, much more than what national transferred so far. The province is spending money by utilizing some of the equitable share so far until we get the money from national. With respect to Department of Agriculture, Conservation and Environment, this department has got some difficulty at present. We are keeping a very close monitoring in this department. The department has spent 25% of their funds, which is far below the estimated 75%. The project coordination unit was strengthened through the appointment of agriculture engineers and technicians to improve the delivery, and we are thinking of having an impact in the fourth quarter, but we still see that a huge surrendering of money by the end of fourth quarter. The department indicated an underspending of plus or minus 40 million rand based on the late addition of the disaster management conditional grant of 55 million rand that was only added during the adjustment budget from the national department, and 15 million on the comprehensive agriculture support grant based on the delay in tendering process and appointment and recruitment of the staff. So we are, especially in the department, we are working very closely to see that some of these developments is implemented in the fourth quarter. Chairperson, as concluding remarks, we do see quite a number of challenges, but most of the departments are on target, and we do see agriculture, sports, arts and culture, these two departments as high-risk area, where they will be lower spending, but all other departments on target, and we will make sure that they spend only what is allocated to the budget, and there won't be any kind of overspending. Thank you.
Okay. No question.
see, the first problem you are doing, and this is not going to assist you. You first work out your provincial, I mean to say your performance by specific grants, and then hide that in terms of the average. It's a bit dangerous. Because then does not tell you the story in a focused manner. For instance, if you're looking under health, we've got to do something about the forensic pathology, national tertiary services. Okay? Something that we really need to deal with. But number two, the Moses Kotane and private hospitals, the issue of the SLAs. I mean, when you're saying these people are time scheduled, why is that so? I think it's something that you must upscale yourself. Because you've got to have a service level agreement which specifies clearly the issues of performance and so on. I'm just raising it as a matter that must receive your attention. Education. Again, the average is kind of misleading. Whereas HIV and AIDS is really underperforming there, IGP is really underperforming there. And you see, EPT, I'm worried, it can't be 100%. Is this real spending or are we talking transfer? Transfer. Now, let's be clear. Transfers do not equal spending. Transfers are not spending. Until and unless you've gone out there and verified that there has been spending, will it be spending? That is unspent money that's sitting somewhere in some account. It has transferred, it's sitting there. And therefore it must not be reported as spent when it's ready. Not spent. It's really misleading. It's something that all of us must deal with, because for us, it must comply with the Division of Revenue Act, and unspent money must then revert to the National Revenue Fund. It shouldn't be allowed to be sitting in banks and accounts, because it's going to accrue interest, etc., etc. And how do we deal with those issues? I'm just saying it's a matter that, again, is misleading there. Now, well, and you see, housing is problematic here. And it's a matter that we have raised ourselves. It's 63 now. And we did foresee this problem. But again, it's a matter that we will be looking at very carefully, right? Agriculture has gone back to square one. Now we're not sure why. Because in the last financial year, there was a very good performance. Now it's gone back to where it started. Again, it's something that we must pay our attention to, so that we deal with this matter big time. So I'm just saying, for Northwest, that's the problems that we have. And we've got to find a solution to this problem. Any matter of life and death?
Just to give you a figure on the transfer for your city college. The college is 22.2 million rand. So it's not really lying in the banks of any institution as at the end of December. We have three colleges, and the total is 22.2 million. The transfer is only 28.7 million. There is approximately 6 million rand still lying there this year.
Spending is 22 million.
Yeah. Asset spending by the colleges.
That's so. Now, where is that reflected?
It's published. It's published.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Can you go to those FET colleges and see physical service delivery? I'm 100% sure about that. Huh? Can we go together and just see? Or is it just figures that are reflected?
But other than that, sir, we will take into account all those advices he gave us, and they will make the improvements.
Do that, please. Don't
and I can tell sir again, as you correctly said, gone back to square one, and you have to work on that one.
We're talking FBT now. I'm saying that real standing there, if ourselves here, together with yourself, can go to those FBTs, would we be able to see physical outcomes amounting to the 22 million that you're talking about? Fine, it's a matter that I'm raising for you to look at, okay? Well, you are also excused because you were pleading, you wanted to go early before 1 o'clock. Let's take the kingdom now. There's a technician sitting there. That thing is not working now. Press now. Any one of the two mics there. You can just relocate.
Thank you, Chair. If you look at slide number 3 of the presentation, you will just see an application of the capital expenditure for mainly the three departments and one other capital called other, and that is a small portion of our capital budget. And then slide number 4 just tries to illustrate this issue of the so-called deficit, where you see quite an improved expenditure in the third and the fourth quarter of the financial year. That's quite visible to the Department of Transport. Slide number 5 explains that the table I was talking about in the graph. You see that the highest spending occurring in the fourth quarter. There's a projected under expenditure of 166 million, and that's largely for the machinery and equipment affecting particularly the Department of Education, and it relates mainly to the acquisition of things like vehicles and so on and so forth. But on the actual school building program, there's not too much of a red flag there, Chair. For health, that's slide number 6. If you see health just below education there, you will see that the expenditure is relatively good, I mean, it's 885 million. And this is also on top of the part that is not doing well, which is the conditional grant. If you strip out the two conditional grants out of this amount, basically health would really be on target to complete their budget. If we go to slide number 7, Chairperson, which is transport, we normally don't worry too much about transport. I don't know if this will change this time around, Chair, but we've always had a similar trend, and they would actually come, if not exactly on budget, and sometimes it sort of bothers us as to what is it that they do so well that other departments can't copy. They really would either underspend by something like 1,000 rand or overspend by the same amount. And then,
about raising the consciousness of which I want to have a part. One is a tournament staged at a queen, if you like, and not about the most rural areas, because you're not staging there. And so for me, other methods really of reaching out in respect of raising the consciousness must be found. And so I'm just saying, maybe that's the problem I have in terms of that. But for me, you must be doing issues of infrastructure as a department that relates to infrastructure. But secondly, these are issues of enforcement. How do you ensure that laws are enforced, etc. In other words, visibility of policy, traffic controls, etc. Those for me are very critical issues. But I'm just raising this in terms of, because part of what is critical for me is whether this issue was in the stretch plan, business plan, if you like. And so, as you do this thing, then it means you take money somewhere, which you have budgeted for something else, and therefore redirect it elsewhere. It could be done within the context of the equitable share, and this is why the equitable share is a problem. But I'm just raising this as a problem, that maybe part of their spending relates to those other activities, in my view, which are not essential for the department, if you like, made for city.
Now, thanks, sir. But I wasn't really aware of any soccer tournament hosted by the Department of Transport. But I'm sure they probably would have those under the same kind of Arrive Alive kind of.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying essentially that was the lead department. There were about four plus. What is this? Golden Arrows, AmaZulu Kaizer Chiefs, and Pirates. I was watching. In Gauteng, they are saying it. What is this? It was over the weekend in Gauteng. What is it called now in Gauteng? Is it? That's right. Again, you see, that's the biggest challenge for me, is that you are dealing with this. You're hosting professional clubs, essentially, which have the capacity to host themselves. But there's also much sponsorship across the spectrum, really. And I would be very much unhappy if it was the departmental funds that were used for both tournaments. I would be terribly disappointed. Because firstly, you could have approached the sponsors just to do it in collaboration with government, for instance. But I hope you did see it on TV. I saw it on TV. I don't stay in that wrong.
Thanks, Jefferson. I also hope that that's really not the way that they manage to stay on budget by dishing out money to those kinds of non-core sort of business processes. Jefferson, on the category, as I said, there isn't a projected under expenditure there, but it really is not quite going to be so. Largely because the items listed there on the social and economic facility program in housing expenditure will come through. So that's a change in the payment method here that has resulted in the delay of the actual expenditure, but the project have taken place. The one that is problematic, and I'll talk a bit more about this department, Chairperson, which is our department in the ICE. And the last time we were here, we reported exactly the same picture, and unfortunately the picture does not seem to be getting any better. Agriculture, and that is a mushroom base. There was a decision to finance the processing of mushrooms in the province. So the department would have constructed what is called a mushroom base for really high-value mushroom packaging and ready for delivery to the market. That project has not come to any fruition at all whatsoever. So that's one area that I'll talk about. And in fact, that leads me to slide number 8, which is a table that immediately shows you the extent to which agriculture is in trouble around their own conditional grant. You've got CAF spending at about 16.4% at the end of the 31st of December. That is a problem. You've got the landcare program, same story, 24.3%. Worse still, the disaster allocation at 8.6% at this time of year. Chairperson, maybe what I want to do is let's go to slide number 10 of the presentation here, which focuses mainly on agriculture. Cost has really been a problem in the province. I think this is probably the third year.
Just before you go there, FET recap, that 100%, is it actual spending service delivery or transfer?
Chairperson, if you look at slide number 11, we actually do mention the actual expenditure on the FET. That's just for the table and the formula. If the money seems to have gone, it's transferred. It just records 100%. But we do talk about how much has actually been spent by the FET College. Correct. Chairperson, you recall that agriculture has indeed been in ICU, and we, as Professor Treasury, had to intervene, basically took over the administration of the property department. This was around about April, May last year. I think we probably started pulling out our personnel around about June or so, or July, and then the new HOC has now come on board. We still have our CFO seconded to the department because they haven't been able to pay the services of the new CFO. What the new HOC pretty much did, which in a sense was coming from our intervention as treasurer, was really to freeze expenditure. Because you recall the reason why we intervened was this consecutive over expenditure, which could not be explained. Over expenditure that can't be explained is a real problem, which is why then we intervened. Now I think as trying to rein in the agriculture has basically gone the other way. The pendulum has swung the other way. It's a complete non-expenditure of the budget. They came with a concept called the High Performance Team that was supposed to then, fast track the expenditure on all the programs that agriculture undertakes. Doesn't seem like it's yielding any results yet. Unfortunately, in preparing for this meeting, I actually had a long discussion with the HOC to ask him to please give us a convincing answer here on what it is that we then as treasury, because we've pretty much done a few things. We still have our person who's a CFO in agriculture who keeps telling me that, I don't even know why I'm still here, because nothing is happening. We have a person for supply chain to help them really do the procurement work, CDD as it were, seconded in agriculture. It's not working. So I asked him to give us a convincing story so I can table a better sort of discussion point here, Chairperson, and as the message has been so wrong, it went wrong, I never received anything up to now. I'm still trying to get the same thing for the budget council tomorrow, to get a decent explanation of what it is that they will have to do. But in the end, Chairperson, this department is not going to spend, if you forget about conditional grants. I don't see this department spending anywhere close to even 75% of its total budget in 2007-8. So, Chair, it goes on for all the grants, really, the Medicare grants, and here they always use this excuse that, well, they normally target the land affairs projects, which would be under the restitution, where they want to do land care projects. Now, if land affairs delays in those processes, then it results in them delaying. On the agriculture disaster management, I really cannot explain it, Chairperson. We have a memo here that they submitted to National Treasury requesting some amount with pretty much good costing. So one would have assumed that at least the plan is to understand the disaster, because they know the areas. It can't be rocket science. Surely there may be problems here and there, but the explanation cannot be as low as 8.6% in an area of agriculture where relief really, really fought and is important. I mean, I guess we are thinking that animals don't those that survive, well, they might as well go hungry and kill they can feed them some other time. I mean, all I'm saying to you is that right now we don't quite have good cooperation between ourselves and the Department of Agriculture. The MEC has intervened a few times, and it would appear that maybe the problem is not really at the political level. It may very well be at an administration level, at a management level. There is a feeling that Treasury is invading quite too much. There are a few attempts that we have made, even to just sit down and discuss the budget of the department, and it's always like, well, but why? I mean, we know our problems, we're sorting out the past.
You know what you must do? Tomorrow, the Department of Agriculture will be here. I think myself, I've got to raise the issue with the DG of Agriculture, one. But they must also be seen to be doing something about this problem. In other words, what you might want to do then in respect of this one is to convene a joint meeting between the National Department of Agriculture, yourself, National Treasury, and the Provincial Department of Agriculture. It's got to be resolved as soon as possible. And so, tomorrow, as I'm saying, we will raise it with the National Department of Agriculture, and we will let you know in terms of when we intend. It might be during the weekend, the program is congested. If it means going to KZN, we can do that. Or if it means you coming over there, then let's look at that. Because really, it can be about personalities and the egos in the administration. You are doing what the law says you must do. And therefore, if people are not ready to collaborate with you, let's just talk about that. We will come back to that discussion. We may proceed to the other issues.
Thank you, Chairperson. On slide number 7, that's where we talk about the education conditional grant. And as you rightfully point out, that the 150 million budgeted for and transferred to the colleges, of which 63% of it has been spent by the colleges, which is the actual expenditure. But get an assurance from education that the balance of it is already committed, so there's no, you shouldn't worry as Treasury on that one. HIV and AIDS, I think that when we were here, that it was still spending below par, Jefferson, but education says that out of the 26 million balance that you made, 15 has already been committed and payments will be processed now, February, Jefferson.
I think what you must check with education is how is this money, especially this one, how is this committed? Well, this one is specific in terms of issues of skills building, and therefore how is it committed? I think let's not really take excuses now on where people are hiding behind commitments, specifically in this department, in your process.
We take the point, Jefferson. On the school nutrition program, extending at 62% of members of the 21st of December, but the department projects to underspend 21 million on this one, but it's really in respect of the March invoices, which would not be easily processed before the end of the financial year, or the suppliers that actually do the feeding of the children. On health side, Jefferson, the first conditional grant, the expenditure is really, really fine for the comprehensive program, as well as the health professionals training at 78% of budget, the National Treasury Services grant as well at 84% of budget. The real challenge, I think, as in other provinces, pretty much still remains the forensic pathology services. The department think that they really will come close to meet to spending this amount of money by the end of the financial year with their so-called fast track program. But it's hard to believe it, Chairperson. I think we will start to see a bit more improvement in health, probably starting midway next financial year and definitely by 2009-10 in most of these. Largely because it's only now that the IT program in health is really running at full speed. It was introduced midway last year and now been given, I think, one or two technical assistance teams, so we should see an improvement on this one. But, Chairperson, I'm not so sure where the problems really lie with the forensic pathology. It would appear that something has to be unlocked because I think maybe there might be one or two exceptions process-wise. And the same story with the hospital rehab program as well. Which brings me to that program, which is slide number 13, Chairperson. Our revised grant, 43% of the adjusted budget, and I take the point you made earlier, Chairperson, to say, why do we allow for the adjustment, the addition of money in the adjustment when the capacity is doubtful? And as you know, this is exactly what happened to the grant. So I think for the province, an additional 91 million given is over and above baseline for the same program. Health tells us that some of their projects are unable to do, if you like, parallel construction processes in a hospital that is under the revitalization program. The only way they can complete the project is if they do it step by step. So you have step one, and until you complete step one, you can't do step two, and then once step three is finished.
Therefore, that is why you don't need adjustments. That's why you don't need adjustments, because you go step by step.
I'm with you 100%, So that's the one. And so there's an example of one hospital, which is King George, that is under. And then, Jefferson, this whole issue as well of the reduction of allocation, I think, on the grant itself. I mean, KZN, due to the lower expenditure in previous years, I think there was an adjustment downward of the allocation. So I guess health now would not want to initiate projects that will have a ripple effect in the subsequent years. So there's that kind of uncertainty here, Chair. Chairperson, housing, I don't quite have much in terms of the red flag there to highlight, sending it to 68% as of December, but I think that I believe the departments and they say that they expect full expenditure by the end of the financial year. Agriculture and tourism, the community library services, Chairperson, which you spoke about earlier. I think we will come on budget on this one too, Chairperson. The expenditure was at 63% at the time of this report. But I think that since these processes are now on steam, I don't foresee any particular difficulties in spending that conditional grant. On the next spot, that one also, Chairperson, is really on track. We would get a similar outcome for 2006-07, Chairperson, on the same grant. So there's not much red flag on that one. So, Chairperson, I just want to conclude by really highlighting what you've already spoken about earlier, which is really around trying to help agriculture a bit. And I'm of the opinion that since agriculture has quite a bit of projects that qualify as infrastructure projects, I'm of the opinion that perhaps it's opportune now for us to start thinking about how we introduce the IT content in agriculture as well. I mean, we've basically selected education, health, and transport, and work, and we've neglected agriculture. But with this bottleneck, I think we may want to think about that. Chairperson, I'll stop there.
Thank you very much. This is an interesting story that you raised. Again, we've got to monitor carefully these things. All nine provinces in September extend below 15% on libraries. Now that it says, I think what you must go and check is it must be grant in your own province. Now, September, October, November, December, 63%. I think it's a matter that you need to go and check yourself, because frankly speaking, I really don't believe they could have done. In fact, all other 8 provinces at that period, if you look at the National Treasury report, are still below 60%. Now yours is 63. It's very much interesting. I think it's a matter that we must go and look at. But then I think overall what we must do again with yourselves, except the discussion we will have to have with agriculture, maybe we might also want to have a discussion with education if we need to go to KZN. And I think we must go to KZN. Let's monitor the other departments at the end of the financial year and just see what comes out there. Because part of our discussion that we must raise with them again is this discussion of why is it that people want more money when they really know that they would not be able to spend. I think we've got to deal with that discussion totally and frankly. Again, the provincial treasury is the guardian of the Bible, and we can't compromise. Now, in respect of your agricultural department, we do want to talk about this financial misconduct, but after we've had this discussion, we don't want to really be brutal to people for having not done what we ought to have done, especially the national department. If the national department has seen these things, what has it done in the context of the cooperative government issues? You've done what you have to do, but I do want to plead with you again not to take everybody away in terms of the support systems that we're putting in place. But let's also urge the national department to play their own role in ensuring that this department is assisted. We will be communicating to yourselves, as I said, just in terms of the dates and other things. Let's just have a one-day meeting in your province. Your last word. What's your last word?
Chair, I think we'll welcome that. Perhaps it may be the avenue that will start to forge a bit more cooperation with the department. I think that's the country. I don't have much to add.
Thank you, sir. Now, the WhatsApp, we would have no facts. The WhatsApp of the WhatsApp. KZN, you may go and catch your flight. We don't want to delay you guys here today. We want you to be in the Budget Council and raise them. Alright. WhatsApp, do you want to be nice and give them an opportunity? No, they'll be able to catch the flight. I mean, we really are trying to ensure that everybody's ready. Okay, let's come.
We'll give you some tests and opportunities if you want to share with you.
Wow, you're nice, man. I hope you don't want to swallow them. Eastern Cape. Who are these gentlemen sitting in front of us? The smart province. Okay, I did get your apologies from your HOT and everybody else. Well, what are the problems in Gauteng? And what are you doing about those problems? Can we get the Gauteng submission there, madam?
So thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, our presentation is very, very much perfect. We are definitely going to make sure that we set aside your time.
I think if we just look at slide number 3, the consolidated overview of the GPG, that is housing profits and infrastructure expenditure at the end of December, we've really managed to spend the profit about 4 billion against the budget of about 5.7 billion. I must say, Jefferson, that the 5.7 billion budget that I'm referring to is obviously excluding Caltrain. Because you see, if you include the Caltrain, that they really distort, you know, our overall infrastructure budget. As I've already indicated, that we spent four billion at the end of December. And clearly you can see departments that are really driving that expenditure. You know, your health has spent almost 80% of their infrastructure budget, your education about 82%. Very low expenditure has been recorded by social development with what big problems say. They've only spent 20% at the end of December. Housing has spent, I think they are spending relatively well, about 7% at the end of Q3. Public works about 53%, infected transport 53%, and works 14%. Then agriculture again got big problems there. They've got a few projects, but the spending is not really good at all. It's unsatisfactory, and during the adjustment, we even revised their allocation downwards, same as well with social development, because they are not really spending well. But they've only spent also 42%, however, they've managed to obviously complete phase one of the four stadia that they are busy upgrading. Of course, they want to use about two of those stadia, Sinaba and HM Beach, as one of the training venues during 2010. I think what is really now left in those projects, I think, is just phase two of the the upgrading of the two stadia. If one looks at then slide number 5 is just really the picture that really shows actual expenditure versus the budget for both KPIs as well as maintenance. But I think that the picture really shows that the bulk of our infrastructure budget, I think, is under KPIs and then a small amount, a budget of 751 million. That is just under maintenance. Slide 6, I think it's just a table that is just showing spending under capital projects. Again, as I highlighted earlier, that some of our departments are really spending very well, but there are signs in some of the departments that they might overspend. Like health, they are already projecting overspending for 2028, mainly due to the revised project. And we've already advised the department to get down on some of the projects so that they stay within the allocation. Education, we believe that really the projection that they submitted to us, they are not really correct. We are very much convinced of how they trigger with that. They are not going to overspend by 111 million that they are projecting in that slide. But most of the departments, they are really indicating that they are going to understand their budget at the end of the financial year. Again, if one looks at then the overall performance of KPIs, I mean, as a province, we spend about 73% of the total capital budget. And then under maintenance, I think the picture is not good at all. Again, I mean, if you just then look at then your slide number 8, health, I think, and housing, health departments have really recorded a high expenditure, and then those expenditure, as I indicated, that has been supported by agriculture as well as social development. And then really the reason, I think, for agriculture's underperformance can really be attributed to poor project planning, because we find that most of their projects in this current financial year, they are still on planning stage. And some of the even the contractors, I think some of the projects were handed over to contractors around November, which I think is really the main reason why they are unable to spend. I think the same problem that we have with social development, you really see in our slide later, where we really taken a decision as treasury to roll out the IT process to both the social development as well as sports as one way of our intervention to really deal with the problem of understanding by this department. So, but then if you just look at the slide number 9, and the infrastructure expenditure that takes basically shows that we are not really spending that well under maintenance. We only spend about 58.8% as then the province. Again, if you look at slide number 10, you can see that the department that is really reported high expenditure is the Department of Health. Agriculture, Public Works, Social Development, again, they are underperforming, maintenance. If just one really just looks at then the infrastructure, you know, performance, sectoral infrastructure analysis, I think has they've really managed to deliver, I think, big projects. I think they managed to complete the clinics as well as then the nursing college. Some of them the achievements I think they have to so far. However, they've indicated that the pressure that they are experiencing under the might result in overspending at the end of the financial year. Again, if you then look at education, I think the number of projects that they managed to complete, and most of those projects, building of schools as well as fencing. I'm not really going to go through all of the, to go through department by department type of thing. But if you just then look at then the observations that we've made on slide number 14, we really noted, I think, the problem, I think, with regards to infrastructure delivery, which is really as a result of the weaknesses in infrastructure, misalignment between the budget planning as well as the flow requirements for projects. But as I've indicated earlier, that we are now rolling out the IT process to almost all the infrastructure departments in housing. And I think up to so far, I think the IT process is really working very well. We've also noted with concern that some projects are moving at a really acceptable pace, other large project projects are moving at a sluggish pace. And then we really hope that departments will really be able to address their problem of procurement and the putting difficulties that they really have. I think if one can just go straight to conditional grants, I think it's important again to indicate that the figures I think that we have in the document that was submitted by National Treasury, I'm sure would be different to the one that I'm presenting now, simply because of the problems I think that was experienced
when the department was importing the numbers to the ID to the IYM that is used to submit with that at national treasury. Overall, I think as a province we spent about 5.4 billion against the total budget of about 9.7 billion. But I think it's important again that all that in our reporting is included the section 4 grant. So if you look at the overall performance of the province, about I think we spent about 81% of our budget if you exclude all the section 4 grants as well as the infrastructure grant to provinces. I think if one looks at just the comprehensive HIV and AIDS on slide 18, 75% was spent at the end of Q3. I think forensic pathology spent about 8%. And then under revised, also spent, I think, we spent about 60% of the budget. I think, again, if we then look at the Department of Sports, Committee, Library Services, we might look as if, okay, we are really spending. But what we spend at the end of Q3 does not really represent actual expenditure. I think it's about 20% of that amount that has been transferred in quality that we spent. Something that really came out in a meeting that we had with sport on Friday. Again, this week we'll be visiting some of our municipalities to just go and look at what is it doing that the money has bought, just to verify ourselves that it transfers the amount that has been really spent. Then, slide number 18, just the FDGs, about 73.9 has been spent as at the end of Q3, it has been transferred to policies. But I think it's also important for us, I think, to also point out that that is the education department and then the Southern Children is really undertaking current scrutiny of the college month report. So which I think is really important for us to do before we even transfer the money to the SEC colleges. HIV AIDS that is the last case, again I think it's really spent about 5% of the of the budget, which I think is really in line with all the benchmark if one should use the straight line projections. Under the national nutrition program, again, we spent about 75% of the budget. Gautrain, we have challenges there, Chaplain, because if you just look at then the table, it's slide number 16. It appears as if Gautrain has really spent 93% of the budget, but I think it's because of the problem that the department is really currently experiencing in terms of splitting the expenditure against equitable share as well as then the conditional grant. Because if you then include the equitable share portion, which is about 1.5 billion, then it changes then the picture that you see in that slide. Then agriculture, I think they have spent about 70.1% of their budget that is under cast, and then they also gave the spend of about 2.3 million against in the budget of 3.3 million. So basically, I think that's all that I just wanted to bring to your attention.
Thank you very much. And I think I'm happy with what you did with your Department of Agriculture and Environmental Affairs in terms of revising down the adjustments. They were here in the second quarter arguing for more money, and we set up a process that sought to assist them. And I'm happy that you've given us this report, because we must invest that process. We've got to invest that process. And I think they really misled us already, which is terrible. Make us believe that one, they've got the capacity to do all manner of things. But I'm also happy that you're raising issues of planning and misalignment, which is very critical. And project planning in respect of them. It's a matter that we shall deal with. Now, I want to urge you to monitor education, because this picture that they are presenting here is some form of magic wand, given their own track record. Because also looking at the problems of your public works, because it looks like your public works is not geared to be able to do these things that they are saying they would do as education. We're also happy with the attitudes that you have, just of not accepting their reasons. Let's really monitor carefully what their outcomes are going to be in respect of education. Now, I'm worried about housing. Housing seems to be, in terms of their spending, there seems to be on track, and yet they're going to be given 200 more in respect of the reallocated money from Eastern Cape. I'm not sure whether that is necessary now, having seen this picture, because I got myself involved in trying to assist them to unlock that money from the house, National Housing and Living Treasury. I just want to check with you whether this is now necessary. Don't you think that they're going to be on track in terms of their own spending as the housing department needs? And they might not need this extra 200 million. I think that's the only thing I want to clarify with you.
Well, I'm really looking at then the figures that they've really submitted to us. It's not likely that they will really experience any funding pressure. And so I'm obviously quite aware also about that issue of 200 million. You know, it was also brought to our attention, but nothing really is happening. So I really don't think that the department at this stage is waiting to see such a big amount. Was already the second month of the fourth quarter. So basically, when that statement was in March, and then finalize our processes for the current financial year.
Okay, so we'll have to check that with them and even National Treasury. Sports, no one. What concerns us with your sport department? They seem to be funding huge projects, which we don't think they ought to do. The stadia that they were funding, in our view, are stadia that are used by the professional class, which we thought belonged to the professional class. And so it's our recipe to not show. I think it's a matter that we again are asking you just to check and just find out exactly what is going on. was issues of mass participation, mass sport, club development, really do not relate to building this stadium. Something that they did from some time back, but I think it's something that we must just monitor carefully and just see what's going on there. What is the benefit of the communities, for instance, in respect of this? Well, we thought they benefit the clubs, especially the professional clubs, not the other clubs that ought to be developed. So clearly there's some disjunction in respect of that. Right. Is there any matter of life in there on your side whilst you're not on death row?
Well, no, not really, just a thing. I think what is just important to also highlight, I'm just saying that we're raising issues that are too important. I mean, as you correctly pointed out earlier, that obviously about 1.2 million was spent by the department on the housing challenge that took place this past weekend. And it's not really the only soccer tournament that they've organized. I mean, they've organized the housing club in the past. So I'm just saying that I'm happy that these issues are also coming from, but we'll definitely make sure that we take up.
No, we'll be raising it with them this very week because they are coming here. Thank you very much. Again, let's also allow you to go and prepare for the budget council. There's no time to go and do some shopping at the waterfront, the real waterfront here that you have here. Yes. We've allowed you to go. We're trying to be nice to the everybody. Let's hear the Vesca.
Thank you. From our side, I'm only going to highlight the key issues, seeing that you've requested the key issues. I'm actually on slide 4. In terms of the education budget, the key stuff is around the SET grant. We reflect spending to the tune of 80 million. From our side, that's transferred to the SET colleges. To date, well, up to the end of December, 51.1 million has actually been spent by the different colleges, so that means the 64% spending by the colleges in terms of the amount that is transferred. Then you can see that there's more or less an underspending on the HIV/AIDS grant. This is spending affected about 56% year to date. Other than that, most of the spending in terms of education is more or less on track. We move to about 6 health share. The grant that's not performing very, very well is again the forensic pathology services, and it's in essence more or less the same reasons that was alluded to by my other three colleagues. Some of the issues specifically relating to the forensic pathology services grant is the issue around personnel. The department is struggling to get the required personnel because they're also scarce skilled. And then it's the whole issue around contracts that's not really on par. But we're having interactions with the department around that grant. Other than that, most of the grants in aggregate in health is more or less aligned to the required percentage of 73.8% in aggregate. So if you page over to page 5, you'll see that, and this is again the concern that we want to highlight here, is actually the housing grant. Currently, we're only in about 52.5%. And as you know, one of the key issues under the housing grant is that grant is actually split into two grants. There's an amount of 426 million that relates to the N2 gateway, and the rest of the money actually relates to the normal grant that goes to municipalities. Now, you are well aware of the issues around the N2 gateway, and at this point in time, you know, if the issues on the N2 gateway is not resolved, there will probably be an underspending of around 101 million. And there's issues around there, some community issues in Joslova specifically, and then there's also the issues that's currently happening, you know, that on national TV around the Gulf invasions. And as I indicated, if those issues are not resolved in the short term, then obviously we'll sit with a problem with that grant. Maybe just also to indicate in terms of the other projects, there's at this stage a projected 50 million underspend. But we've got a standing arrangement with the National Treasury. In fact, we're meeting on Friday with Dr. Sandra Sukho, We're meeting almost every quarter, specifically in relation to the housing conditional grant, to actually understand what's happening, to talk about whether certain grant payments should actually be stopped, you know, or we also talk about rollover. So we more or less have the housing grant under control in terms of, you know, how we manage it. Then, Chair, back to slide number 5, you say, I'm actually at agriculture now, the grants are not performing optimal. This is again the agriculture disaster management grant. You will see from that grant that we didn't get any transfer payments as yet from the National Treasury. We spend about 11.3 million. Chair, just for the purpose of this meeting, that grant in essence relates to the flood that we had last year in the Eden District. What had happened there is when we submitted the stuff through the Disaster Management Center, we requested that that grant actually be given to us over a period of 2 years. That's in last year's adjustment estimate. What has then happened is that that grant was actually given as a once-off allocation. However, the grant framework allows for spending over 2 years. So there will be definite underspending this year, because obviously there's some issues that need to be resolved. But the department is confident, and we've also indicated this to National Treasury, that we will spend that grant fully next year. So we are assessing all the areas. As you know, with disasters, it's a difficult issue. You don't get to farmers, etc. immediately. And one really needs to assess mostly the unsecured losses by the different farmers. But that is also an issue that we monitoring constantly. So in terms of understanding, there will be a different understanding. But again, it's by an agreed arrangement with the National Treasury, and also in terms of the grant framework. The cost of grant is also not on par, and also the land care poverty relief grant. And again, this is common every year, this time of the year. Last year, we more or less had the same type of picture. This grant requires a lot of community involvement, participation, etc. And what also happens in the Western Cape, as you're well aware, you know, this year specifically, we had more or less a lengthy rainy season, etc. And a lot of the planting issues and all those things actually start to happen this time of year. But most of the issues relate to community involvement and also getting with community agreement on some of the stuff. Chair, the problem grant, as you've indicated, and it's also happening in other provinces, the issue around community library services grant. And what has happened is we've spent about half of the grant up to the end of December. And the main reason for that is the fact that the department, as late as October, November, is still finalizing MOU agreements with all the different individual municipalities. But that department is confident, and I think from a Treasury perspective, we are also satisfied that the department will spend all the money that relates to the grant. It's a small grant, it's 12 million, and in essence, as you're well aware, that grant is actually there to employ additional personnel at the different municipalities. Here then, what the other slide actually does, it just goes into more details, and it just shows you what percentage is actually spent in terms of what we've received. So I'm going to skip slide 6, slide 7, slide 8 I've already touched on, slide 9 I've already spoken about, that's the housing grant, and then slide 10, Chair, in terms of the infrastructure grant spend in our province, you can see that we're actually spending very, very well in the province. We spend about 86% of the total grant. In terms of the transfers that we received from National, we've actually spent all the amounts. Obviously included in that total spend is also an amount in terms of the flood money that we've actually received from National in the recent adjustments from estimate. I've already discussed slide 11, Chair. I've also discussed slide 12. Slide 12 deals with agriculture grants and also the reasons for the underspend, which I've already discussed. Cultural affairs and sports, that's the community library services grant on slide 13, I've already discussed. Slide 14, that's mainly the library grant, and the reasons for the underspend, I've already indicated that to the committee. Slide 15 says this goes into detail in terms of the infrastructure spend, in terms of what is capital, and also the bottom part of the slide actually just includes the issues around maintenance, because maintenance is normal current expenditure. And you can see there that even with the maintenance expenditure included, we are right on par in terms of spending. We spend 75%
up to that. In terms of monitoring and evaluation, Chair, in the Western Cape, we have continuous engagement with departments around spending. We take the spending numbers very, very serious. In fact, we have two processes in the year. We've got an MTEC 1 and MTEC 2 processes. And at MTEC 1 specifically, we look at the spending on grants. That's normally during the month of October. MTEC 2 is normally in January. Then we take another look at expenditure up to the end of December. We report these numbers regularly to Cabinet, and there's rigorous engagement at Cabinet level and also at the different cluster committee levels and the different clusters, the GNA, economic clusters, etc., in terms of these different numbers. And as in the past, Chair, we're still continuing with the meetings between our MEC, Education, Health, Public Works, and we also take these numbers up at the different CFO quarter meetings. So, from our side, Chair, I think in closing, if I can just highlight the main concern area at this stage is outside the housing grant and probably the low spending on agriculture, but agriculture we more or less have under control. In my view, it's mainly the housing grant and how we deal with the community issues, especially around the integrated budget. Thank you, Chair.
I think what must also be monitored are the reasons really for comprehensive aid time and aid. Because it's been performing so well in the last period. But what could have happened? It's something that we will also ask them, they will be here. I think you also need to monitor that. I think it's a terrible thing. Look, forensics is, we can't regard the Western Cape as other provinces. Because you're supposed to be much more smarter than Gauteng. I'm just talking now for another world provinces. So I think again, let's also delve into the question here. What could be the big problems in terms of forensic, of the forensic pathology? They can't be treated the same. HIV and AIDS skills education again, a bit backward compared to the other years. Again, I think there's a small problem there again, which I think we need to delve a bit. We shall raise with the education MEC when they really appear before us in the few days that are coming, but it would be nice again as you engage with them just to check what could have happened. You see, it's funny. Instead of further development, it's regressive. There's something wrong. Maybe you have given them too much compliment and therefore they are complacent. And hence the picture. So really, it's something that we've got to deal with. Agriculture again is disappointing. It was performing much better in the past. Now all of a sudden this picture again is something that we would have to engage with as we engage with them in the time. Now it's interesting here, infrastructure and education. 103.7%. Wow, that's a big one. I mean, this infrastructure grant is given on the basis of your own performance. So clearly, it means there's a problem with you guys here. You should have really checked what their capacity is. And why is it that, this is a conditional grant that is given on the basis of a business plan. And so how credible was the plan? If this thing now is 103.7%, I think it's something that we might want to have a look at. And maybe part of what we might want to look at here at outcomes, right? Exactly what is this that has been bought?
what is the quality, where is this thing that has been bought? Something very critical. Libraries, I also can't believe the story. This is a province that ought to be ought to be advanced. Again, it's something that we might want to deal with. We shall engage ourselves with the MEC and his department, same applies to my sport. So clearly, I think these are the issues that we want to deal with in the Western Cape. Your last word.
Chief, from our side, I just want to thank you. What we'll do is we will take up some of these issues in our further engagement with the department, and hopefully, at the next quarter, we can report on them. Thank you.
Right. Is there a matter of life and death from the other gentlemen and ladies? None. What province are you? What's your view? Well, what's your view in terms of all of these things?
There you go. Some of the issues that you've raised are very pertinent issues. I think that the question on the capacity in terms of departments that requesting for more money, and the real question is then whether they actually have the capacity to spend. One issue that I think only Gauteng sort of raised the point was that in especially with regards to capital expenditure, one doesn't really see what goes to maintenance. And that was a question that on a political level also was quite a big question. I would think that departments need to, and at the last benchmarks that we had, that was also a real issue that we prompted the department or the provincial treasury to start really engaging the issue of maintenance so that one actually distinguishes between what goes for construction and what actually goes for maintenance, and to what extent are we actually looking after the government, looking after government's assets in terms of maintenance. Are we just building and then leave it there, or are we really investing in the maintenance issue?
What about the view we have of withholding and allocating? What we're saying here, for instance, is that if you look at the DORA now, the expenditure, I mean the MTF is clear. It has some indicative figures. If you're looking at the Eastern Cape Province, it's going to be 1.2 billion. In the last financial year, it was 1 billion. We passed it knowing that they don't have the capacity to spend. And so I'm saying it can be business as usual. I think we're irresponsible ourselves and even national pressure. Effectively, we're proposing this MTF as is, and then we pass it as is, knowing fully well that this MTF is not going to be able to spend. Somewhere along the line, it's going to be withheld, when in fact we could be doing it now. When then in the budget council tomorrow, we should be changing the MTF as is, so that we allow them to chew. I mean, to buy as much as they can chew. I mean, it's really wasteful if we then say, let's give them 1.2 billion, knowing fully well that somewhere it's going to be withheld. Because withholding this stream also affects planning, if you're going to reallocate to the Western Cape, to somebody else, etc. So I'm just saying, what would be your... I've already canvassed some of your bosses, they are saying. I want you to put this on the budget council tomorrow, so that I've got to amend the dollar properly. I've also raised you with the DG of housing. He agrees with me. He really agrees with me fully right now. It would be nice to start doing it now, where we say performing governance now, what it would then do, it would create certainty in the next year or two. That for the Western Cape is getting more, housing is getting more, Western Cape, etc. So that you also give them commensurate to the kind of capacity they have. So what would be your own view on this one?
Mr. D,
just in terms of the, I think the initial intention of the withholding of funds was not really to punish those underperformers, and it wasn't to overcompensate for the performance. It was to recognize good performance and to keep to actually encourage the performer, good performance, and to continue performing good. But then, in the same vein, it was also to allow the underperforming departments to get their act sort of together and start capacitating themselves. The problem, however, is that when a department starts performing, it builds skill and it actually requires more now. And then this is a big problem in terms of when you start allocating towards good performers, they build more capacity and they need more. In the end, what's happening to the one can then ask the question, what's not happening to the underperformers? Because at what point do we then say that they are in a position where they are able to start performing then? And we keep on, I think we sit with the dilemma now, as to at what point do we then say no to the good performance, because you don't want to really discourage them in terms of their performance, but then also on the other hand, you need to keep on encouraging the underperformance, and one needs to balance the way one deals with underperformance and good performance very delicately, so that you don't discourage the underperformance, but then also you don't sort of overcompensate for the performance to the detriment of the underperformance.
No, really, it's not overcompensating, but you also don't want to suffocate the underperformers. Because you really are killing them. In fact, I think the correct word is incentivizing the good performer to perform better all the time. But you're also incentivizing the underperformer to start pulling up their socks. But the bottom line is that you must also not compensate underperforming. Because underperformers would then underperform because they know they are compensated. It's a nice dilemma. Can we adjourn? Lunch is going to be served at 1 o'clock in the old assembly. All of you are invited for lunch. Thank you very much.